If you think everyone is running for mayor in the city of Toronto, no. Our in-studio guest now isn't, unless he'd like to announce right now. He is filmmaker Zach Russell. What about it? This is your moment right now. The city needs Zach Russell for mayor. I know you like making movies, but never mind. Don't worry. Politics stinks. Just
this is a horrible way to start this interview. I'm going
because
to
Because I'm putting
leave.
You on the spot. Exactly. We want to get something out of you you're not willing to admit.
Sorry. I was just going to say my platform is more talk radio. I think that...
And you told me how young I looked also, and that was great.
I did. I lied to you as soon as I got here.
That wasn't a lie. You were being honest. You're like, how do you do it? And I'm like, I don't know.
Hi, Craig.
Volume. Someone lives here is going to remind people, oh, yes, I remember that story, because it hit pretty notably in the news cycle about a carpenter who would build these tiny homes that we actually see other cities and other municipalities across North America and Europe utilizing for unhoused people. But let's put it this way. Khalil Sievright kind of, Zach, went independent on this front. What attracted you to the story in the first place when you heard about it?
Yeah, you know, it was October of 2020, sort of early pandemic. I was feeling pretty depressed and like I didn't know what to do with myself. I was doom scrolling on my phone early one morning.
Because you really can't do a lot of what you love to do, probably. You can't create and
make
art. You're just waiting this out.
Yeah. And I saw someone that wasn't waiting anything out. I saw this story about Khalil building these small insulated shelters. And I think there was something so radical and simple about what he was, about his mission, which is just to help save people's lives, to help people survive. And that idea of survival really, I don't know, it hooked me. It's like, yeah, why aren't we helping people survive right now? Especially in the context of COVID, it felt like such an important thing. And I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So I wrote him an email, mm-hmm. never made a documentary before. And he promptly wrote me back and said, I have no interest in a documentary. Please go away. But also maybe you want to make a how-to video, because he wanted people to know how to build these things so that more people could build them. And we did that. And then he let us stick around. But yeah, I think it was like a little bit of light in a kind of depressing time, that news story, for a lot of people. And for me included.
So there was a bit of a sell on Khalil. Look, naturally, I think anybody reaches out and maybe this is either media or somebody that will document your story and their first issue is, will it be my story or will it be theirs at a certain point? So there's a little bit of wiggle room where you've got to be independent and you have instincts as a filmmaker and he doesn't, but he also just wants to make sure probably I'm not getting played here. I'm not getting exploited. There's a level of trust I'm getting at that needs to be earned with a subject like this, right?
Yeah, totally. But I mean, you know, and I think that's a very normal reaction for any subject that's approached. But you know, the thing with Khalil that was kind of incredible that drew me to him even more was he actually didn't care about that. Mm. He cared about devoting as much time and energy as possible to building these tiny shelters. So his biggest concern with having me around was that I would somehow take as opposed to give on his mission. And so this comes back to this thing of like, this is this guy who's on a mission. Like how often do you encounter someone like that in this city that's like doggedly determined, even if they're tired, even if there's government opposition, to do something and to do something that is helping people survive? So I think once he saw that we weren't going to take and that we were actually going to try to help him in any way we could, he was like, okay, you're on this mission with me. Let's go.
Zach Russell's joining us in studio in Toronto today on 640 Toronto. The documentary is called Someone Lives Here. Its first screening is coming up in a few days, and we'll talk about that and where people can see it. Yeah, you and I would have grown up with the phrase, you can't fight City Hall, but don't tell that to Khalil, because like you said, it's not just a story of him doing something independently. He kind of did try to fight City Hall, and there were a lot of people backing him to fight City Hall, saying, why are you stopping him from doing something maybe the city should be doing?
Right. And I mean, now here we are, what, a year and a half later, and the city's declared homelessness a state of emergency yesterday, and the ombudsman came out with their report about the encampment clearings a few weeks ago, sort of basically saying that the city did not act appropriately and was actually quite cruel and violent. So yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that startled me the most about this is that City Hall can be not just a little bit wrong, but like egregiously wrong. And that, yeah, I, you know, I, you can't fight City Hall, but when they're I'm not going to say lying, but when they're when they're selectively using facts to harm people, I think you kind of need to.
So when you start this, how you mentioned the encampment clearings, how much of a role does some of the back and forth of that, does that feature in the documentary? Does that play into Khalil's story at all, given he was probably building life-saving shelters for some of the same people that might have been cleared out of Lamport Park months later? Maybe so.
Yeah, I mean, the film ends with the clearings. And
a lot of footage of that from people's phone cameras and whatnot, I bet.
A lot of footage of that. We were also there inside the fence at Trinity Bellwoods. We were there at Alexandra Park. We were there for Lamport, as were a lot of people. And yeah, I mean, the film ends with tiny shelters being destroyed by city tractors. And that kind of was the end of the story. But now the story continues because we have this ombudsman report and we have the city declaring a state of emergency. And we also have Khalil still here, and all of the people who are unhoused still here and still being hassled.
More of them. Yeah.
Many more of them still being hassled daily by the city, whether or not there are cameras there. So, yeah.
Five more minutes left with Zach Russell. Let's get the important stuff out of the way. And that's where people can see Someone Lives Here. This is about Khalil Sievright, who built these life-saving shelters pretty much 4 or 5 months after COVID, going into the COVID winter, I should say. So probably 8 months. Zach Russell's with us. Where can people see the screening in the next few days?
They can line up for Rush tickets on April 29th, this Saturday at 5:30 at the Hot Dog Cinema. We are sold out for the premiere, but then they can come to TIFF on Thursday, May 4th at 4:15, or they can rent it online. And many ways to watch. Watch at home.
Many ways to watch. So we asked about, you said, I got all day to talk about John Torrey. You would have had access. Did you get access to John Torrey? Did you say, I'm a documentary maker? Let's hear your side of the encampment clearouts. Let's hear your side of how to deal with the homeless population. What was that like?
I did very early on reach out to various city departments. None of them wanted to chat. Or rather, they wanted to maybe chat, but they probably didn't, and they mostly just wanted to email back and forth. But what's great about the city, I think, is that they're constantly showing themselves. They're showing themselves in city council meetings. They're showing themselves at press conferences. They're showing themselves on radio with journalists. So the city is a major player in the film, because I'm featuring a lot of that content. And I think we know what the city does, and we know who they are because they are public. Mm-hmm. So whether or not they wanted to be in the film, they are.
Do you see another city? Like in looking at the housing crisis, homelessness and the like, I want it to be the election issue that everybody cares about the most. I don't know if we'll get there by June 26th. We're getting a bit of a chance to do a do-over, right, with this election. We are. And there's a lot of fascinating people who want this and want this for our city. Do you see another city in North America and you go, Toronto's not getting it right, but we should be more like they are?
You know, I wish I had that imagination, but I think I've been staring at Toronto for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And for better or worse, all I can really talk about is Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I think Toronto is filled with people who don't want to be cruel and who don't want to let people die outside their house. I think that a lot of people are actually very humane and want to help. I mean, that's why thousands of people gave money to Khalil's project. That's why so many volunteers.
He had a GoFundMe for a while, right?
He had a GoFundMe that raised hundreds of thousands. So people want to help. There's just this disconnect between maybe our old self-image as progressive and humanitarian and what we've been doing, mostly through policies, and through our city government and services. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just really hopeful that some of that energy that was tapped into through things like the Encampment Support Network and Khalil's project, that some of that can spill over and maybe change the city a little bit.
I think, I'm so glad you said that, Zach, because I think there's no easy answers, but that's because there's no easy questions. What are the questions we want to ask about how to fix a housing crisis and homelessness? And I think we all, like my instantaneous reaction is people shouldn't be living in a tent in a park. But if I stop there, that almost makes me sound insensitive to their needs, because we should have this, that, and the other thing to help them. I look at safe injection sites and I think, well, in theory, it's keeping people alive in the short term over the long term, if that's my son going to a safe injection site every day, and I don't intervene, I want to intervene so that he's not at a safe injection site 42 days in a row. It's just an endless cycle. But what are the parameters, and where should government get involved, and where should exactly all these things that we have access to? We're a rich city. We're a rich country compared to everywhere else in the world, but we're getting a lot of this wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you just said a lot, Greg.
Well, you're always welcome back. I know you got to blast a couple of minutes, but you're always welcome. But I hate to make you late for a competitor.
No,
for that to happen.
But I do want to, I mean, I'll say a couple of things.
Yeah.
I'll say like, yeah, we're a rich city, and I think that might sometimes, that the valuing of capital, the valuing of money and wealth over human life is kind of biting us in the ass. I think that, you know, to the question of how do we solve and who do we listen to, and isn't this problem so complicated? It is complicated, but also there are tons of people who have lived experience, being homeless, being unhoused, and they've been trying to talk to us for decades. And I think those are the people that I trust. I trust the people with lived experience who've been through our shelter system, who know how hard it is to be unhoused, who know how impossible the government makes it to survive. They have solutions. There are actually lots of solutions out there. And to talk about this so-called housing crisis, I think that one of the biggest problems with housing is that we both want it to be a human right, as well as a means of accumulating wealth. And I think that those things are deeply...
they conflict sometimes.
They conflict. You know, Khalil,
yeah, they do.
Khalil last night told me that Tridel has quadrupled their profits in the last 6 years. So, like, I think we need to get real about, are we okay with financialized landlords making so much money while people die on our streets? And if we're not able to have these kind of harder conversations about wealth distribution, then I think we're just kind of...
Well, I think you nailed it. And what's the purpose of government if we can't stop the grocery giants from getting richer while more people go to food banks, and the oil companies get richer while people struggle with paying taxes on their fuel and filling up their car?
But the good news is that
you're running for mayor. We're coming back around to the original idea.
The good news, Greg, is that you can also just like see someone outside who needs something and do something for them. And you don't need the government to help you do that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no legislation that makes people be kind or empathetic or understanding that not everybody has the same circumstances. The movie is called Someone Lives Here. Zach Russell is with us. Unfortunately, I have to go. Please come back, though, or get on the phone with us and talk about the movie, since we were having a good time here and a good vibe. And it's your first documentary. I hope it won't be your last.
We'll see.
Would you like to document a radio host waking up at 3:45, having no idea where his pants are, can't find his car keys? Like, all those are really, that's a really intriguing plot line right there, isn't it?
There's drama. There's drama there for sure.
There's drama and loud voices also. Thanks very much for coming in. I know you got a blast. Zach Russell. I did not kick him out of the studio. I do want to make headlines and kick somebody out of the studio someday, but it is not Zach Russell. The film's called Someone Lives Here, and yeah, you can see it at Hot Docs. It'll start streaming on April 5th.